to Luke chapter 1. We're going to spend time in the book of Luke over the next few weeks, but we're going to do it in a way that maybe we don't necessarily always look at the Christmas story. So I want to take some time to really dive into what we see here in the scripture, and hopefully, you know, we can understand a little more about who we are through the story of Christmas and through the things that take place as we lead up to Christmas, which is actually on a Sunday this year. So something about being in church on Christmas Day when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, I'm looking forward to it myself. It happens every few years, what, 6 years? I think. Because you throw the leap year in the middle. And so I'm looking forward to Christmas here. But this week, we begin this journey to Bethlehem. We begin this opportunity to see God move through the book of Luke, through the story in Luke. And all of us know the story in Luke chapter 2. We know Luke 2, 1 through 20. It's read every Christmas. We go through it time and time again. And we will go through it again. But I hope that in this we see some things as we develop our relationship with Christ and we start to see him move in a different way. So Luke chapter 1 verses 5 through 17 is where we're going to be today. I'm going to read it differently than I normally do. Normally I'll open up with the scripture, but I think that today it bids us better to break it down as we go. But we all tend to face a common problem. And today I want to focus on that. And we've kind of really addressed a lot of it already. I mean, I handed Joe my sermon after Sunday school and said, have you read this? But the truth is I think God does that for a purpose. I think that there's a reason. I had not looked at the Sunday school lesson. All I had with me was my Bible and my iPad, my computer, and did not look at the Sunday school lesson and did not look at Blake's community meditation. But what I do see is that God, through the last 36 years of my life, I've faced a problem, and I know many others have faced a problem. And this is just a lead-in to where we're going to go with this today. But, you know, it really, the last couple weeks have really been eye-opening for me in certain things. And what I realized is that, you know, sometimes prayers seem to go unanswered. And to us, that's a problem. And each one of us could probably sit here right now and think about a prayer that we've prayed, a prayer that we have poured our heart out in, a prayer that we really truly thought God was going to do a specific thing in, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen the way we thought it would, and it went unanswered. But the thing is that I've realized over the last couple of weeks especially, that as I struggled to put this sermon together, I had a different plan. I was trying to go a different direction, and the last 3 days, God just really opened me up to this and really laid this on my heart as the direction we needed to go. Because I feel like that where we are as a church in the last 10 years or 20 years, that there's many of you today who can sit here and say, well, I prayed for this or I prayed for that. And just in terms of the church here at Newland, I think there's many of you who probably say that there have been unanswered prayers for what has taken place. Or maybe there have been answered prayers that just didn't come in the form you thought it would. But what I realized is I was trying to step in and take a direction that I thought I needed to go. And God finally, you know, sat me down and said, we're going this way and you're going to follow me. And we're going to do this together. So, you know, a quick recap of the last 2 weeks have been anything short of amazing is difficult for me to say. It's been humbling. It's been surprising. There's been some soul searching. There's been a lot of things over the last 2 weeks that I can look back on and see God moved in a mighty way in my life. From conversations that I had with the relief bus to just being able to spend some time on the beaches in Quincy, which it was snowing, and I was walking along the beach, and it was weird. But, you know, just to spend time with friends in Boston and experience some things that there in that area. And, you know, I got up one morning and just felt this desire to go and walk along the edge of the beach there in Quincy. It's in the harbor. And as I'm walking along, it starts snowing. And I'm praying and I'm listening to, you know, just trying to listen to God move. And finally sat down on a bench and just watched it snow over the water and listened to God speak through his word. And then got up and walked back. And, I mean, you know, to experience that, something that I had never experienced before. You go to the beach, you don't think of cold weather. But when you go to New England and you walk to the beach, it's cold. It's not like it is here. But in all of this, I say all of this just to say that God has opened me up. He has honestly opened me up to things. And these unanswered prayers that we have, we don't understand why they go unanswered. We don't understand why prayer seems to be the one thing that we have that is our communication with God, but yet sometimes it seems like he doesn't hear us, or it seems like he's not listening. And we battle with that on a daily basis, and we try to understand, we try to grasp what he's saying. But I've also realized that I'd never given a chance in my life to actually ask for some of the things that I thought I'd prayed about. Now, I say that because we all tend to do this. We all tend to have unanswered prayers, and the main reason we have unanswered prayers is because we've not prayed them. I mean, I could stop the sermon there and we could go on. But what I want you to see today is this, that sometimes our prayers go unanswered because we don't ask. We refuse to ask. We've had this burden on our heart, or we've thought these things in our head, but we've never actually voiced the prayer to God. Folks, that's called prayerlessness in some ways. We've never offered it to God, and in fact, we often tend to be guilty of that. We tend to be guilty of prayerlessness because we assume God knows, and God does know. But what I want you to see, according to 1 Samuel 12:23, it says, "As for me, I vow that I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. I will teach you the good and right way." You know, he's saying that there in 1 Samuel 12, but what we see in that is I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray. So what we see there is that prayerlessness is sin. And Paul says that praying without ceasing is what the church is supposed to do. He tells the church at Thessalonica that they should pray without ceasing. Jesus himself, documented by Luke in chapter 18, verse 1, says that men should always pray and not faint. He then, in Mark, is documented as telling Peter to watch and pray that he not fall into temptation. Folks, we're commanded to pray. It's our communication with God. And when we do not pray, we don't see results. So why then do we not pray? Well, I hope that through this scripture today, we can understand this and we can answer some of these questions that we may have about what prayer is as we begin this journey toward Bethlehem. And as the weeks go on, you'll understand why I've titled it that. You'll understand why we're going in that direction. But there's no substitute for prayer. There is nothing that we can substitute for prayer. And I, honestly, I'm one of the world's worst at letting things get away from me, letting prayer get away in certain moments, and then I come back to it. But this week I came across a quote, and I came across a quote from Mother Teresa. It's credited to Mother Teresa. I ended up seeing it by three or four different people, and I don't know who's quoting who. I believe that it was credited to Mother Teresa because Mother Teresa said it, because just in studying, it seemed like that was the oldest that I could find who said it. But what I see is that it says, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. And that broke me. That honestly broke me. Because I realized at that moment that many times you get wrapped up in the things of life. You make things priorities over other things. And things continue to just weigh on you. But it says, if you're too busy to pray, You're too busy. And Bill Hybels wrote a book called Too Busy Not to Pray. Because, you know, and it's playing off of that same mentality. But what we see in that is that nothing can replace prayer in our life. Absolutely nothing that we come across today. There's no effort that we can put in. There's no energy that we can come across. There's no enthusiasm, intellect, no works that we can commit or do that are going to replace the act of prayer. Not a single thing can replace prayer in your life. So as we look at this today, I want us to reason through this in our own minds and realize a couple of things here. One, prayerlessness is simply the fact, and honestly the main reason that most of our prayers go unanswered. Prayerlessness is this moment where we don't pray because we thought it or we felt it, but we left it. We leave it right where it is. I want you to hear this today. God cannot and will not answer a prayer that goes unprayed. God cannot and will not answer a prayer that is not prayed. If you refuse to pray to Him about something or a circumstance or a situation, God can't answer that prayer because you've not voiced it to Him. That doesn't mean God doesn't know what's in your heart. It doesn't mean God doesn't know what's in your mind. But what it does mean is that God knows that you didn't trust Him enough to come to Him with it. So why would He answer a prayer you didn't pray? We can't just expect God to provide for us in those situations. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17, which is where we're going to center things, we will do a little bit of flipping, but Luke chapter 1 tells us of the birth of John the Baptist. It tells us about, it reveals to us a few more reasons why prayers may go unanswered. So today, let's spend some time talking about these unanswered prayers. Let's spend some time talking about where we can apply this to our lives, what we can see in our lives, and what can happen in a mighty way in our lives because of prayer. In Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, in the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. I want to stop there as we continue through this. But what we see there is that in those three verses, I want you to see a couple of things. But honestly, the first thing I want you to see today is that sometimes God's answer is no. Sometimes God just simply answers with a no when we pray. And there's many reasons for that, but putting it simply, sometimes God says no. I mean, look at the story. It clearly states that Zacharias and Elizabeth are good people. It clearly states they were righteous before God, which leads me to believe that they had prayed for a child. And as we continue through the scripture, we will see some of that. But they had prayed for a child. Now, any of you who are parents know that it's a lot easier to parent when you're younger. But now it also says in verse 7 that they are now in old age. They are stricken with old age. But what we see is that it clearly seems they were faithful to pray and serve to God, meaning that they would have taken their lives before the Lord. And so why would their prayers for a child go unanswered? Why does it tell us that they had now gotten up in years and they were childless? They, just like any other Hebrew family, would have wanted children because that name could have continued. They could have continued their family line through that. And honestly, there's a lot in the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias that kind of leads us back to where we talked a few weeks ago about Abraham. Because you see, sometimes God's answer is no. To better explain that, let's go to the book of James real quick. James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, starting in verse 1, we see some different things here. But James chapter 4, 1 through 4, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, and ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And what we see in James chapter 4 is simply this. It can be the reason. We see a number of reasons here why prayers can go unanswered. In the first couple of verses, James gets straight to the point. He straight out says what causes fights and quarrels among you. You know, there's a war on the outside that takes place. We war with each other because of the war going on within us. There's a spiritual warfare being battled inside of each one of us. And we let that overflow. We let that come out. We are too often at war within ourselves, and we allow it to spill over into our everyday lives. We allow it to spill over, and we allow the overflow of internal conflict to disrupt the peace in our lives. Internal conflict is not peaceful. It is not a peaceful time in anyone's life. When someone is going through a difficult time, it is not peaceful for them. But then we start to see these reasons that James is listing here. One is we have the fights and quarrels, and it's the internal conflict that sometimes causes the prayers to go unanswered. Two is we see prayerlessness is in this. We see in the second part of verse 2 that you fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You fight with others about it. You try to, are you asking? Are you asking God for that? For His will to be done in your life? Are you asking God to provide for you? You know, as I said in the open, we just don't pray. Sometimes we just don't pray. Another thing we see is there's selfishness. Prayer doesn't exist. This is what verse 3 tells us. Prayer doesn't exist for us to give a shopping list to God and get what we want. Prayer doesn't exist so that we can have our wants gratified. Prayer is something that we can expect the Lord to meet our needs, but not our wants. Now, if our wants line up with His will, absolutely, He will give you the desires of your heart. But if you pray with selfish motive, if you're praying with this selfishness in mind, God may not answer that prayer. Because what good will it do you to receive what you want when you want it for the wrong reasons? You know, if being outside of His will in our request is something we do, the end of verse 3 should really open your eyes to this. Verse 3 says, ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. What are you asking and why are you asking? Those are two things you need to understand when it comes to prayer. One is you need to pray and you need to ask, and you do not have because you do not ask. But two is, why? What are you asking and why are you asking? Are you asking God for your own personal gain? Are you asking God because it's something you want? Are you asking for something because it's a desire that you have completely lost sight of what God may be trying to do in your life? Really take a look at what you're praying and why you're praying it if your prayers are going unanswered. And the last thing we see in verse 4 is that sin is another reason why prayers go unanswered. God will not contribute to our spiritual adultery. He will not give us an answer. To piggyback on verse 3, He will not give us something that is going to keep us from His kingdom. He will not give us something that can take His place in our lives. He will not give us something that will give us an opportunity to turn our back on Him and walk away. So I ask you, what are you praying? Why are you praying it? And how are you using it? What are your motives? Why are your prayers going unanswered? We will not be blessed in our efforts to run with Satan. We will not be blessed in our efforts to do the things that are against God. Now, I come back to the things that I saw in the last week and think about homelessness. And one of the things they tell you is, they say when you're out there and you're ministering to them, don't buy them, don't give them money. Offer to buy them food. Meet their needs, not their wants. Many of them want money because they want to put it in their pocket. And they want to use it on things that they desire. Namely, drugs and alcohol in some cases. Now, that's not saying that everyone that's on the street that you meet is looking for you to hand them money so they can go buy drugs. Don't get me wrong in that. But what I am saying is, if you can meet the need they have, that's okay. Many of them are hungry. They desire a meal. Take them and get them a meal. If they're cold, give them a coat. Give them a pair of socks. You know, that's the thing is that we don't want to contribute to someone's continued struggles that are leading them away from God. And I'm not going to enable someone to be farther and farther away from God if it's not in the will of God. And you can easily discern that if you're following Him. If you're truly seeking Him in your life, you will discern when God's will is at hand and when it's not. You can't enable someone to step away from God because of the desires that they have, that they want. You know, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 also addresses this. And what it says there is this: and this is the confidence that we have to Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Sometimes God just says no. Sometimes He just simply answers our prayer with a bold no. Because it's not something that is good for us. And our prayer is coming out of our own desires. But sometimes God needs to work on our desires. Sometimes God needs to speak to us in that way. And prayer is not about us getting our will. It's about God getting His will done on this earth. Through us. So sometimes He says no to us because it will not further His kingdom. Folks, if we go back to the story here of Luke, or in chapter 1 of Luke, and we see Zacharias and Elizabeth, what we see is that they did not have a child. Does that mean that they were doing something wrong? No. Does that mean that their prayers were going unheard? No. It means that God said no. At that time. Now sometimes God's no is not always a no. God wants us to continue praying, as did Zacharias. He continued to pray. So sometimes the answer may be no. Sometimes maybe God is telling us no for a reason. But I want you to understand something. The second thing that we see in this section of Scripture is that sometimes the answer is delayed. Sometimes it's not that the answer is no. It's God saying, wait. He's saying, hold on. It's not time. It's not ready. What you desire is not what's going to make you happy right now. But if you wait, it will. Now let me continue on in the section here. Starting in verse 8, it says, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Sometimes God isn't necessarily saying no. Sometimes God is saying wait. They had prayed for years. They were praying and praying and praying and trying to find a way to have a son. And when they were young, they wanted a son. I'm sure they wanted a son continuing into their older age. But what we see is when the angel finally appeared and confirmed that there would be an answer, even we see that Zacharias, if you go to verse 18, it says, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Zacharias had given up that his prayer could and would be answered by God. Zacharias had gotten to the point where he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he did not see an answer, but he kept praying until this point. And just before he was willing to give up, it's almost a disbelief situation. Now, I don't know when Zacharias quit praying for a child, but obviously he had stopped praying at some point because he was old. He felt he was up in years. He felt that it wasn't for him to have one. But what we see is that we see this confirmation that his prayer had been heard. Folks, it was answered when it was prayed. Our prayers are heard and answered immediately. What we need to understand, though, is that God's simple answer may be wait, because there was a perfect moment that God wanted to reveal his glory. That God wanted to reveal this plan. Sometimes we simply think our prayers go unanswered, but what the reality is that God is actually answering our prayer down the road. He's giving us an answer later, and at this time he's saying, wait, there's something more for you. There's something greater. There's something bigger, and I want you to see it. I just can't reveal that to you yet. It's not quite time, and it's okay that we need to continue to pray in faith. We need to continue to pray that God will answer, and when he does, it will be a blessing, and it will be clear, and it will be something we can't question. The angel said that your prayer has been heard. The angel said that you have gotten what you want. The answer came, but God had said, wait. They didn't get a child when they were young. They got a child when they were up in years, and it caused a question. Mark 11, 24 tells us to continue to make our prayers in faith, trusting God to answer in his time. Are we trusting God to answer in his time in our lives today? God will ask us to wait because he's waiting on a time that will give him the most glory, that he will receive something for what he has done, and that is the praise of others. And we have to wait. But why does he wait? He wants to display his glory in our lives. That's the first thing. There's two reasons why God can wait. One is that he wants to display his glory in our lives. We are his pride and joy. We are the greatest creation that he ever made. Think about it. God spoke everything into being, but yet he took dust from the ground and he formed man and he made man into his image and he breathed his life into the nostrils of the man to give him life. There's no other creation that God spent that much time on. There's no other creation that God formed with his own hands other than to speak it into being. There was no other creation documented that was built by God in that way. But we were. God took time to put every little detail of us together. God has a plan. Sometimes his answer is no. Sometimes his answer is wait. But when God says wait, he tells us to wait because his glory will be revealed. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he waited 2 days and prayed. Why did Jesus wait 2 days and pray? Well, it was a 2-day journey. Had Jesus gone immediately, he would have gotten there when Lazarus had been dead for 2 days. If Jesus had said, "Lazarus, come forth," Lazarus would have walked out and they said, "Well, he was sleeping." Jesus prayed and waited on the right time to go. And when Jesus went and got there at 4 days. We know that the reason Jesus went was to see Mary and Martha. And he raised Lazarus from the dead on the 4th day. When they opened the tomb, the stench was there. Death had overtaken Lazarus. And yet Jesus said, "Arise and come forth," and Lazarus did. He walked out of the tomb. But Jesus waited so that God's glory could be revealed. Jesus waited so that there could be no question that God had done something amazing that day. He also wants to give us grace. How do I know this? Because in the story of Lazarus, Mary, when Jesus arrived, said, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. If you had been here, our brother would not have died. An unanswered prayer. An unanswered prayer where God said, no, I'm not going to heal him. I'm not going to give you what you're praying for because there's something greater on this other side. Just wait. And when Jesus returned, when Jesus got there and he walked up and told him to remove the stone, the death smell was in the air. The stench was too much to bear. And yet Jesus raised Lazarus, a man who had started to decay, a man who was in those smelling stages of death. Jesus raised him from the dead and gave him life again. Now Lazarus died again, just as we all will. But there was a glory that God received in that. There was something that God had. And in this story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were past the childbearing years. Just like Abraham, just like Sarah. They were past the years of having a child. And they were beginning to question what God's plan was. Because they had been praying that God would give them something. And God said, this is the beginning of my journey to Bethlehem. God took a moment to make something great out of Zacharias and Elizabeth because this was the beginning of his journey to Bethlehem. Because we know the story of how Christmas came. We know that John the Baptist was the precursor to Christ. And we know that he preached in the wilderness. And he was baptizing. And he baptized Christ. John the Baptist had to be born. But as the book of Esther says, for a time such as this, Elizabeth and Zacharias were too old to have kids. Elizabeth was barren. She couldn't have children. But yet God made a way because he had a plan. So the second thing we see is that God needed them to wait because this waiting gave God the glory. And it showed God's grace to the world. And many rejoiced at the birth of the Son. Because God made a way where there didn't seem to be one. All because God said, wait. And they waited. And it began a journey to a manger that we celebrate each Christmas season. It began a journey to a manger that saved our lives. The third thing we see is that sometimes God's plan is different than what we envision. Verses 15 through 17 says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the obedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Could you imagine having a child with that on them? I mean, think about it. It's a heart-wrenching story if you really get down to it. And it will rip out your heartstrings to think about putting yourself in the place of each one of these. But God, when he made this promise, if they'd had a child in their young days, who knows what he would have turned out to be. But God just told them who he would be. He told them how he would live. And he told them that he would prepare the way for the Lord. Sometimes God's plan isn't what we envision. Sometimes he makes it better. They wanted a son. They wanted something, but God gave the son in their old age. Sure, they would have been grateful for a son anytime. But think about what God gave them. God gave them a son at that time in their life. Because if God withholds something from us or changes it to something different, the fact of the matter is it wasn't good for us in the beginning. There was nothing about it that was good for us. in the beginning. If you think about electricity, and we're getting ready to wrap up, but I want you to think about this for a moment. If you think about electricity, think about how it works. A transformer is on the line, and it takes this current that runs in, and it transforms it into something that's usable in our homes. If a transformer is absent, what would happen to your appliances? What would happen? You wouldn't be able to power anything in your home because the power would be too great. But the Holy Spirit is God's transformer. He transforms our prayers into something God can hear. And he transforms God's power into something we can use. And he works in our lives. And this Holy Spirit is what God tells Zacharias and Elizabeth through the angel is present from the time this baby is in Elizabeth's womb. From the time the baby is in the womb, this child had the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Spirit on him. Because he was a child that was planned by God. And each one of us have that same opportunity today. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 says this. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We have that right spirit within us. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. Sometimes he says there's something better for us. And all of those are okay for us. All of those are things that we can be okay with. But we need to keep praying. We need to keep searching. We can't just get complacent in prayerlessness and think that God is going to do something great when he's not hearing our prayer. He's not hearing our prayer because we're not praying it. If we pray it, he hears it. And he answers in one of three ways. No, wait, or let's do this. That's all there is to it. Prayers seem to go unanswered. It gives us a chance to make sure that our heart is right. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He'll hear us. He'll just turn an ear to it that we don't want. God doesn't listen to us if our motives aren't right. But God will answer us in his time and his way. Be sure that your heart is right, and be sure that you are asking according to his will. Be sure that you are praying and keeping praying. Continue praying that God will work out the details in his time, not ours. Just because we feel the need to have an answer now doesn't mean the answer is not coming. The only time for us to stop praying, I want to wrap up with this. The only time for us to stop praying is number one, when you have the answer in hand. And when you do, praise God. Give him the glory. Rejoice about it. Report it to others. Allow them to rejoice with you because it's right here. You can hold it. It's in your hand. Here's the answer. You've got it. Take it. Share it with someone. The second time is when the answer is in your heart. You can do the same. You can praise him. You can give him the glory, and then you can wait for him to deliver what he has promised to deliver. When you have the answer here, you grasp it. When you have the answer here, you wait for the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Remember that today. And the last thing is when God shows you a better way, when God shows you a better way, and I want to wrap up with the words of Paul here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Turn there for a moment. We'll wrap it up reading that. But I want you to see that God can show us a better way. And when he does show us a better way, we need to give God the glory for the things that he's done, accept his will, and move on to what God has for your life. Not hold on to what you think God should have for your life. But hold on and accept what God has for your life. Because when God says there's a better way, when God says there's something different, when God says let's change this up, it means that that wasn't good enough for you. That he had something better all along. We got to keep praying until the answer comes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 7. Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Verse 11 says, I am become a fool in glory. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Paul understood something here that we need to understand today. We need to keep praying until the answer comes. Sometimes that answer is no. Sometimes that answer is wait. Paul prayed 3 times. He got the same answer. And he accepted it. Because God had something different for him. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. We aren't told what the thorn in the flesh is. Now, I've got my own conclusions as to what it may be. But let's just simply put it this way. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Something that he felt needed to be taken out of his life. And he prayed that it would be. He prayed that God would remove it from his life. And 3 times, God said no. 3 times he prayed this, and God said no. And God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Are you weak today? Just as Blake mentioned, he was a baby. 2,000 years ago, he was born placed in a manger. In fact, there were 2 babies born 2,000 years ago. One was to tell others and show them the way to the Lord. The other was the Lord. That child that was born and placed in a manger came into this world in the weakest of states, the most dependent of states. You realize we are the only species on the face of this earth that when the child is born, it needs the care of the mother for a certain amount of time. I'm not saying that puppies and cats and different things don't have a need in those things. But if you ever watch a field, the pain doesn't seem to necessarily be there in many cases. A horse can be born within an hour up on its feet and running around. It takes us a year or 2 years to walk. It takes us time to run and talk. Jesus came into this earth, into this world just like that. That's why God had to choose Mary. We'll go through all of this. This is where the journey to Bethlehem starts. And it starts with unanswered prayers. It starts with some of the things we may not understand. It starts with a struggle in our heart to have a desire that maybe God wants to tweak, or God wants to change, or God wants to give us in a different way. Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to trust Him? Are you willing to obey Him? Are you willing to let Him work how He needs to work today?